Okay, let me take a moment here to give some greetings that I didn't do this morning. First of all, we got love from Sister Eleanor Nichols from the Houston class, which I think you probably know that anyway. And all of the brethren there in the Houston class. It's been really wonderful, and she has been an angel for Lois and myself in this time of our need to visit this Brzezinski clinic that is there in Houston. So we have love from there, love from many brethren all over Los Angeles, Portland, Oregon, around the way. So it's a pleasure to bring you the love of the brethren. If, it's a big two-letter word, isn't it? comes from Colossians, chapter 1, verse 23. Well, it doesn't come from there, but it is there. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away. You know, I really enjoyed Brother Todd's talk. Made me think of my upbringing in the truth, too. I guess about the same time. I was probably maybe 7 or 8 years old when things started kind of clicking a little bit. And the elders from Los Angeles had come up to my little class once a month where we would meet. And I'd be able to sit there and I'd hear Ed Lorenz give a discourse. And then I'd hear Brother Russell Pollock give a discourse, or Russell Jurd, or Tom Fay, or any of these elders. You know, there was 20 of them. And they made an impression, and they made a deep impression. And what happened was, about the time I became 16, I was almost 16, and I got Ed Lorenz came up to serve. And Ed Lorenz came up to me after the meeting and said, well, what are you going to do when it comes time to sign up for the draft? Well, that was kind of interesting. This was 1960s. This would have been 67, back up a couple of years, 65, 64, right in that range. And I thought, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. What should I do? So I started thinking about it. And it really did get me to thinking. Got me to reading the Bible, deciding what I wanted to do, what I didn't want to do. And when it came time, 18, it was no choice in my mind. But of course, there was an interesting thing that happened in my life between that time and the time that I was 18 and I actually had to register for the draft. And that was, I fell off a roof. I was putting a roof on a new house that my dad was building. And my brothers were helping out, and the three of us were up there. And we were stringing these shingles down, and I wanted to take a look at them. And so I stood up, take a look to make sure we were going straight, took a step back, and stepped right off the gabled end of the house. Boom. And I did fine. I had a hairline fracture of one of my vertebrae. It was a hairline fracture. It wasn't compressed at all. But I was in a back brace for 5 months. Now, this was August. School is going to start in September, so there goes football, you know. So what do? So I get the first volume, and I start reading the first volume. And guess what happened by the time I got to the end of it? And so I knew what I wanted to do. And the rest is history, as they say. But it all started with those stories. Started with thinking about those men and those characters of old and applying those lessons to my life. So if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. Old and new man-made philosophies abound. We have Eastern religions, we have meditation, we have Christian Science, which is a modern philosophy. We have New Age thinking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It just goes on and on, doesn't it? A lot of things to crowd our mind, to try to weed us away from the truth. The theme of Colossians, though, is in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So what's meant there? We do not need other philosophies. We don't need all of that other stuff. Paul encourages, be complete in Jesus. Colossians 1:22 or 1:23. The foundation scripture is doctrinal. It is a doctrine. It encourages us to continue in the faith. And it encourages us, like Philippians 1:3-11, as a companion scripture, to struggle our hardest against these diverting philosophies. You know, in Philippians 1:6, we have this scripture, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Back in Colossians we have, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You know, we think about ourselves sometimes, don't we? Back to a time when we were alienated. We wanted to be a part of the brethren. If we weren't a part of the brethren, then there came a time where we wanted to be. But you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled. What a powerful thought is that. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I am, Paul, made a minister. So, Colossians 1:21 encourages us to continue. Don't be moved away from the foundation. Don't let these other philosophies drag you away from this truth that you have over here. Encourage. You know, Brother Michael asked me today if I ever studied Latin, and this is about the extent of it. So, yeah, I pick up a word here and there. Encourage here means to give heart. Cur. That's a word you can relate to, right? cur, give heart. Encourage means to give heart. Keep on, keeping on is another way we might say it today. Keep on, keeping on. If you continue in the faith. Now, that's not compatible with predestination, is it? It's not compatible with, well, you found the truth. Once in glory, always in glory, we'll just raise you up there and that's where you are. No. The key truth. We have the freedom to choose. That's one of the interesting things about being a Bible student. Every day, we have this choice that we can make, this freedom to choose. The doctrinal principle of free will is inherent in the plan of God. It's something that, when you stop and think about it, just doesn't go away. An example is Daniel. Whom will you serve? How will you serve? Those are kinds of questions that would come to our mind. There are other philosophies. The flesh is evil, predestined to do evil things. It's beyond our control. We must discipline the flesh. And so we have such things as a severe diet. You know, I got cancer. I got a relatively severe diet, although it doesn't hamper me that much, but it's relatively severe. Got a monastic lifestyle is another way of having controls over our life. Self-inflicted punishment. Those got the people that beat themselves with whips and those kinds of things. The flesh is evil. We must need more than Christ who came in the flesh. And so then we got the people that seek angel worship. We got the inventions of man-made philosophies. Those kinds of things too. And so, no, we're not interested in those things. Well, what was Paul's message? His message to the Colossians was, we are complete in Christ. In Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 1, 18 and 19. He is the head of the body. What we mean by that is the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He's the head of the body, the church. What's meant by fullness? The key word in Colossians 1:19 and also Colossians 2:9, it comes from Strong's number 4138. What does it mean? It comes from, if you boil it down, you keep boiling it down to this one word, it comes from Strong's 4130. It means replete or covered over. By analogy, it means complete, full. Christ is preeminent. He is full. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. A companion text is Romans 8, 1 and 2. Now, Romans 8, 1 is a familiar text to us all. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, Paul writes this scripture, these two scriptures, actually, and he writes it after a long treatise, beginning back in chapter 4 of Romans. So here he's talked about Abraham and his faith in chapter 4, Romans 4. And then he expands upon that in Romans chapter 5. And then he expands a little bit more in chapter 6. And then in chapter 7, he tells how the Jews weren't married to the law, but that they could get a divorce from it, if you will, and be free from it. And then he says these verses, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed," this is Philippians 2, 12 and 13, "wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed," not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now, does that sound like predestination? Doesn't sound like it to me either. So, doctrine number 2. We're reconciled through the blood of Christ. We're ransomed through his flesh. And I just read an interesting book. I'd recommend it to all of you if you get a chance. It's called The Cross and the Lynching Tree. And it has to do with, it's written by a scholar, a black scholar in, I forget where he goes. I think it's Princeton. And he makes this connection between the cross and the lynching tree. And a lynching tree is a word that comes from one of two people that were judges way back when, 1850s, 1860s. And it comes from this black experience of 5,000 or more people that were lynched. But it speaks to the fact that the connection that they get between and the comfort that they get between dying on the cross and being lynched on a tree. And it was just a comfort to them. It had nothing to do with the horrific aspects of it, but that they died on a tree like Christ died on a tree. So they were ransomed through his flesh. "So you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death." So he died on the tree to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I am Paul, and made a minister. I've read these verses already, but I'll read them again. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So again, not predestination. There's no predestination involved here. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So what are faith versus works? That's an age-old question, dialogue. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Wow. What a powerful statement. We conclude a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So I'm telling you, Jews, Paul's writing here in Romans, I'm telling you, you don't have to follow the law to be justified. And in fact, in Romans 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The doctrine of free will. We have the freedom to choose, each one of us. Every minute, every hour, every day. The exercise of faith is a choice that we have, that we exercise every day. What is faith? In Hebrews 11:1, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does it mean, evidence of not things not seen? Well, it means knowledge. We have a knowledge of those things. The knowledge of God's plan yields hope. That's within our heart. Hebrews 6:19 speaks to that hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. What a powerful thought is that. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You know, the Colossians were Gnostics. It's not me. Okay. Gnostics believed God miraculously gave knowledge. You know, somehow implanted it in their head or somehow gave knowledge to these individuals. But Paul argued, I'm a minister. I'm not someone that God has just given me this knowledge to. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given for me to you, is what he was saying, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest unto his saints. Now, mystery is a word that we're going to come across here in a minute. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So this mystery, Greek word 3466, musterion, from a derivative of muo, to shut the mouth. It's a mystery. A secret, through the idea of silence imposed by covering the mouth, by initiation into religious rites, musterion. The mystery revealed in Christ. We don't have need of mysterious societies. This mystery is now made manifest to all of us. We now understand it. It's made manifest to all of the Gentiles. And what is it? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, there were Judaizers. The Judaizers had no need of secret societies. They had no need of the law. You are free in Christ. This is not man's doing. This is God's doing. So the Judaizers were trying to steal people away to Judaism, but these were the words that Paul wanted to speak to them. You know, in Psalm 65:4, we have a wonderful scripture. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Now, what a powerful scripture is that. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. God has chosen us. He's drawn us to him. He did it sometime from a babe. Sometimes he did it older in age. And he causes us to approach unto him, that he may dwell in his courts. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day, we're told. What's the importance of vision? We have the promise to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Genesis 12, 2. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Wow. We take great comfort in those words, don't we? And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What consolation do we take in that? We take great consolation in that, don't we? In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And if you be Christ, we're told in Galatians 3:29, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise that God gave to him way back then. So 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Some powerful words from Paul himself. He also told us in 2 Timothy 2:11-12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. For if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. You know, the longest journey begins with a single step. It's the first step of a journey. The first step is choose to follow God. God draws us to him. He causes us to approach unto him. In Jeremiah 21:8, we have, unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He told them way back there to Jeremiah. But how do we continue? Interestingly enough, in Colossians, we not only have this introduction of if ye continue, but we have this thought of the principles that he goes on to give that are simple, they're basic, they're essential to continuing. One of them is to be personally pure. In Colossians 2:1-11, we have these scriptures. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Mortify therefore your members which, let me go back a little bit, page up. I didn't have all the scriptures here, but set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And of course, you can read the rest of those scriptures there. So be personally pure. And how do you do that? You set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. Next, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and so forth. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So if you're spiritually minded, these things control our lives and not the flesh. The next thing, be pure in fellowship. Colossians 3, 12 to 13. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow, what a powerful thought, isn't it? Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The next thing, he says, be pure at home. Colossians 3, 18 to 21. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. So be pure in the home. There's a third aspect of this gospel message. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So, a fourth area of being pure. Be pure at work. Colossians 3, 22 through 4, 1. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So, if we're at work, we're not trying to just please our boss, we're trying to please God himself. Not as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There's no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. And then finally, we're to be pure in witnessing. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. Now, isn't that a natural thing for the minister Paul to ask for? Pray for me as a minister of this gospel, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery, this mysterion that we had talked about before, of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So how to be not moved away? Be pure personally, be pure in fellowship, be pure at home, be pure at work, be pure in witnessing. We're to do all to the glory of God. Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. May the Lord have his blessing.